Welcome to Hub City Vineyard. To get connected or to give online, go to connect.hcv.church or give.hcv.church. If at any point during this message you feel called to make a change in your life, text change me to 97000. Thank you and enjoy the message.
Happy Easter. We're so glad you made it. If you need a seat, there's couches in the cafe. What a morning. So it began last night at about 10 o'clock when I was rudely awoken by a storm that I thought was literally going to blow my bedroom off the roof, to be quickly informed at 5 a.m. that we had no power. Fast forward to now 10:30 a.m. and we are celebrating Easter together as a community of faith. So if this is your first time joining us, please bear with us as we planned on having a morning gathering at 8:25 that would alleviate some of the seating issues, and that was lost because we had no power. So here we are together celebrating all that God is doing in our midst. And just like you saw on our announcements, for those of you who didn't know, we had a Good Friday worship and baptism this past Friday night, where 56 people declared that they are now following Jesus and were baptized. I even got to baptize Andre the Giant, which was a just personal, incredible experience for me. So I'm just thankful that you all made it and that you're here. I would like to invite you all, if you would please, could you please stand? And I would simply like to read Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12, which is the reason that we gather this morning. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Holy Spirit, come. God, we're just thankful for the morning where we can gather to celebrate all that you do for us. Overwhelm us, change us, and allow us, God, to become new, fresh, and just full of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So Jesus, he only has 40 days. He's risen from the dead. He's resurrected, just like he said he would do. He has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He defeated the devil when the stone was rolled away. He is risen. He is risen indeed. The women went to the tomb. It's Sunday morning. And they brought some spices, but they quickly learned that they would not need them because the angel said to the women, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive?" Now notice the women were searching for Jesus, but he was no longer where they thought he was. And if we're honest, I believe quite often in our everyday lives, we find ourselves searching for the presence and the power of God, but we miss it because we search for it in all the wrong places. See, we look for the living among the dead. And Jesus is not there. He's risen. Why do we look for a living God in dead places? Like a dead relationship, or a dead career, or dead social media scrolling. Maybe it's a dead habit. Why do we look for the living God in dead religion or a dormant religion? See, Jesus is alive and he's real. And the presence of God is not meant to be an add-on or an accessory or a bonus. See, the presence of God should be the fuel or the source of life for anyone who is in a relationship with Jesus. See, Jesus is risen from the dead. That marked the most important event in the history of the world, the cornerstone of our faith. Now think about it. He's got to get the message out because he's only got 40 days. He's about to be taken up to heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father, where he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Jesus has to get moving. He has to show the world that he's alive, that they'll believe the proof of the power in his resurrection. What should Jesus do first? I mean, if he wants to reveal himself to the world and let them know that he is the Son of God, that he is risen from the dead, where does he go? What does he do? Maybe he could gather the disciples together and host a resurrection reenactment event at the Colosseum. He definitely needs to get it out on social. Maybe it will go viral. Maybe he'll go old school and schedule an interview with Fox News. What does Jesus do on the day he defeats sin and death? I believe that all of us might actually be surprised, because what he does next is he simply takes a walk. And this morning, I'm going to invite you to take a walk with me. And not just me, but to take a walk with Jesus. Because see, on the day of his resurrection, the day that we celebrate this morning, with only 40 days to tell the world that he is God and convince them with many signs and proof, he simply appears to two travelers whose names we have never seen. I mean, Jesus, at least go talk to James and John. I've heard of them. But these two travelers, see, they were just like you and me walking along on the road of life. These two travelers were headed toward a village called Emmaus. And what's interesting about this town as I was studying is that no one exactly knows where Emmaus is today. It was such an insignificant place in its day that there's no archaeological evidence that it ever existed. So why would Jesus go to a place that wasn't even significant enough in Jesus' time to be pinpointed on our map today? Well, see, I believe it's a reminder, which leads us to our first thought here on Easter Sunday, that the resurrected Jesus, see, he pursues us. See, let's take a walk and join Jesus on the road to Emmaus as we read in Luke 24, 13 through 17. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And let's just simply pause there for a minute and just highlight that they're walking toward Emmaus. And remember, Jesus died in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was, of course, the place where the Passover feast had just been celebrated. Jerusalem was the place where the promised Holy Spirit was to come. But Jesus leaves that place where the Spirit is coming to follow two people, and we don't even know who they are. Let's continue. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him, and he asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" So picture this with me. Jesus, he's just trampled sin, hell, and the grave. He made a complete mockery of Satan. And suddenly he walks up to these two unnamed people and asks them a simple question. A question he knows the answer to. And listen, you may be here this morning and you think that you can only go on this journey if you're perfect and without sin. You might think that you can only go on this journey if your life is profound and meaningful, that God can only use somebody that other people know. But listen, don't believe that lie, because our culture unfortunately worships the idol of fame and importance. But the famous one, the name above every other name, meets these two previously unnamed travelers, and I believe this morning he wants to meet you. It doesn't matter what you believe, what you've done, what you've said, where you've gone, or where you're even headed. Jesus is with us right now. He's with us when we're wrong. He's with us when we're moving forward. He's with us when we're stuck. He's with us when we're celebrating. He's with us when we're strong. He's with us when we're weak. He's with us when we're defeated. And notice that all these two were doing was walking. They didn't invite Jesus to join them. They didn't pray to Jesus. They didn't go to church. They didn't sing a hymn. They didn't pray a prayer. They didn't even memorize a verse. I mean, heck, they weren't even a part of a growth group. Even though you should be, they weren't. All they were doing was walking. And they were walking toward a village called Emmaus. And if we look at our own lives, isn't it true that daily we walk through life? We raise our kids. We go to work. We go to school. We travel to the store. We cook dinner. And I believe that Jesus wants us to see that he's walking with us. And here's the crazy thing. These two were walking the wrong way. Which leads us to our next thought. You see, the resurrected Jesus meets us in our despair, in our disappointment. Remember, they're going away from Jerusalem toward an unnamed town that can't even be marked on our maps today. And if they really believed Jesus was going to be raised from the dead, they would have stayed in Jerusalem. But they didn't. And God followed them anyway to this wrong destination. Because God wants us to see that grace chases us down. Let's continue our story, Luke 24, verses 17 to 24. They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened here over the last few days." And let's pause there again and recognize. Most scholars believe that these two people were husband and wife. We learn that the man's name was Cleopas. So we have Jesus and we have Cleo. Because that's what his friends call him, right? Cleo. And notice, we don't even get the woman's name because in biblical times, people didn't treat women very well. They were overlooked. They were forgotten. But we quickly see that that's the kind of people that Jesus likes to hang out with. The people who are overlooked and forgotten. I mean, remember, he worked a miracle with a little kid's lunch. In their minds, kids didn't count, but in Jesus' eyes, they were what was needed for multiplication to happen. When people walked past them, he saw them as the ones that would produce life. Jesus pursues the forgotten. Let's continue. "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth." Remember, they're talking to Jesus. They said, "Well, he was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and our other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at this tomb early in the morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said." Why would Jesus make one of his first resurrection appearances to two unnamed people headed toward a place that was away from the Holy Spirit toward a place that no one could even remember. Why? Because Jesus is pursuing us. He comes after us, even when we're walking in the wrong direction. And notice, Cleo and his wife, they're talking about all the things that had happened. How the Romans had crucified the one that was supposed to be the deliverer, to free them from the oppression. And remember, the Jewish believers, they thought that Jesus was going to set them free from Rome. They didn't see him as setting them free from the sin, death, and destruction, from just Rome. So they were downcast, and they were sad, and they were walking away from Jerusalem. And apparently, Jesus, he stops with them in their sadness, and he steps into their sadness. And they start explaining to the one that had just happened to how it was supposed to turn out. Then in verse 15, as they talked and discussed these things, you know, these life events, what they had just walked through, you know, the divorce, the job loss, the financial struggle, the wasted relationship that you didn't really know how to handle, that stressful day, that disappointing outcome. They're talking about all these things with Jesus. They talked about the death and what that they had put their expectations on, their hope. And then right there in the middle, as they're explaining all these things, Jesus doesn't even ask to join. He just walks right in. He walks right beside them. Have you ever felt like God wouldn't leave you alone? Even if you wanted him to, like, get away from me, God. Like, you tried to turn off your conscience, and you still felt bad smoking it or drinking it or looking at it. You tried to turn it off, but you still feel really bad. You're like, God, just get away. And it's one of those things where Jesus walks right up to us. I mean, that's what he does. That's what he did here. He walked right up to it. But the scriptures say that they were kept from recognizing him. And I believe that's a reminder for all of us that quite often we don't recognize the resurrection that's right in front of us. See, we often look to God in the dramatic. But this is a reminder that he shows up in the everyday details. He takes a walk with us. But Jesus, you don't have time for this. You've only got 40 days. You've got people to meet. You got to get the good news out. But Jesus says, yeah, I got to get the good news out to Cleo and his wife. I got to show myself to them. But again, they were kept from recognizing him. It didn't say that he didn't recognize him. It says that they were kept from recognizing. And how many times have we been kept from recognizing what God is doing right in front of us? How many times have we been kept from recognizing the ordinary moments of joy because we are waiting for the perfect? How many times have I missed a miracle because I saw the mess? How many times have I missed the opportunity to give something to someone else, but we're so self-centered that we don't give it away? And God is inviting us this morning, Easter Sunday, to change. Yes, he's pursuing us, but what if we began to pursue him? They didn't recognize it. They didn't see him. And for so many of us, we don't even recognize that our kids are growing up too fast because we're so busy working with life. We don't recognize that God gave us a faithful partner to love and commit to, and we get tired of the ordinary, and suddenly we're in fights that mean nothing. We don't recognize that the people we're hanging out with are leading us down a path that is not abundant, but is destructive. See, resurrection begins in your life when you ask the question, what is keeping me from recognizing the presence of God that is right here beside me and inside of me? Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. See, when we try to search for God with our own understanding, and we say, well, I'll start my journey when I understand. Listen, you're never going to understand. That's just not how God works. Resurrection begins when we acknowledge that God is in control. And we stop looking past all the incredible blessings that we're given each and every day. And we recognize that Jesus is walking right along with us. Which leads us to our next thought. The resurrected Jesus meets us in the scriptures. Continuing in Luke 24, then Jesus said to them, you foolish people. So not only does Jesus not invite himself on the walk, but now he listens to them and he calls them out. You foolish people. You find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus quickly, and not necessarily quickly, because a 7-mile walk, that's a long walk, walks them through the scriptures. He begins with Moses. He goes into the prophets. And he's explaining to them and us that this entire book that we're to read every single day all points to Jesus. From the beginning to the end, it's all about Jesus. And now he's standing right in front of us. He broke it down. He broke it down in a way that allowed them that as they walk this journey, as we walk through life together, we can see our story in the midst of this book that we read every single day. But it requires faith. And it requires for you to jump in the story. As you jump in the story, as you step out in faith, as you hope and desire more of God in your life, you grow as you go. Notice these two unnamed travelers that Jesus chooses to meet with. They begin to grow and change as they walk down this 7-mile dirt road to a no-name town that isn't even on our maps today. And my challenge to you this morning on Easter Sunday, 2025, is keep searching for the presence of God every single day. And as you search for it, as you read the scriptures, allow the scriptures to change and make you new. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. I mean, the Bible that we read is alive and active. It will make you scream. It will make you wince. It will convict you. It will make you wonder. I mean, just listen. Just listen to the book of Deuteronomy. It will make you wonder. But as we wonder and as we second guess, well, God, why is all this in the Bible? Why? Remember, it all points to who? Jesus. When the word of God is alive in you, when Jesus shows up on the road and meets you in your sin, your choices, your mistakes, it frees you from your sin and it makes you celebrate. Which leads us to our final thought. See, the resurrected Jesus makes himself known to us. Luke 24:29-32. Jesus acted as if he was going on, but they begged him, stay the night with us since it is getting late. I mean, this, as you read through this section of the scriptures, as Luke tells us this story, I mean, it's just amazing to think what was going through Jesus' mind. It's like he's playing games with these two. He wasn't even going to stop and meet with them. He acted as if he was kept on going, but they begged him, no, don't leave. And see, as we perk our interest, as we read the Bible, as we step out in faith, as we pray for others, our faith only grows, but we have to be willing to step out. We have to be willing to go on the journey. So he, meaning Jesus, went home with them. And as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. And suddenly their eyes were open. Then he recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. And they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn? Now notice, within us, as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us. Didn't our hearts burn? Burning hearts. So Jesus goes in and stays with them. He sits down. And remember, he's the same God who sent the angels to the tomb, right? And told the women, he's not here. He's the God of the dramatic. But he's also the God of the details. Because we learn that Jesus walks with us everywhere we go. The Bible says that while he was at the table with them, he took bread, right? And he broke it. And as he broke it, right, as he's in the midst of our conversations over dinner, as he's in the midst of our conversations with our coworkers, right, Jesus suddenly is there with them and their eyes are opened. Their eyes are open. And I believe that as we step out in faith, as we talk about God, as we reflect on the spiritual side of us, God makes himself known to us, but so many of us are afraid to talk about God because we don't think we know the Bible. You don't have to know the Bible, you just have to read it. You have to apply it to your lives. You have to allow it to change you. Jesus takes bread, he breaks it. And many scholars point this to, now remember, these two unnamed disciples, they wouldn't have been in the upper room. They didn't see the Last Supper, but scholars believe that these two were probably either at the feeding of the 5,000, right? And they saw when Jesus broke the bread and multiplied it, suddenly their memory was kind of urged, like, whoa. But ultimately, scholars point to when he reached out and handed them the bread, they saw the marks in his hands. And you say, well, why didn't they recognize the marks or the beaten body as they were walking on the road? Because you have to remember that this is Jesus' resurrected body. We just read about him disappearing. He goes to's and from. We're going to learn quickly later in Luke that he just appears to the 12 disciples out of nowhere. Hi, guys. Doesn't even walk through a door. That's our resurrected bodies. But as he takes bread and he hands it to him and he blesses it, suddenly they recognize him and they realize that Jesus has been walking with them all along. Their eyes were opened. This is very similar to what happened in John chapter 20, verse 14 to 16. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. And notice when Mary recognized him, Jesus called her by name. Jesus calls us by name. And not only does he call us by name, but he pursues us. He pursues us when we're walking in the wrong direction, away from God's call in our life, away from God's abundance in our life. Not only does he pursue us, but he calls us by name. And the Holy Spirit desires for transformation to take place. And unfortunately, for many of us, it's unexpected. I mean, let me be honest with you. 2 hours ago, I was sick on my stomach, ready to cancel all of these gatherings. Literally, I was recording a video that said our Sunday morning gatherings are canceled on Easter. But remember, we're the hippie church. We're going to celebrate Easter next Sunday because a calendar doesn't tell us when to celebrate Easter. I was all planning on celebrating Easter next Sunday, and then Rhett ran out the front door as I was about to speak, and he said, the lights are on. Right? So for those of you seated here this morning, I want you to know, Jesus desires to make himself known to you. And it doesn't matter if you're running in the wrong direction. It doesn't matter the choices you've made. It doesn't matter if you don't even believe. He is pursuing you. And he desires to make himself known to you. And when he makes himself known to you, the transformation is incredible. Luke 24, 30 to 34. And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them who said, the Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter. So think about it. These two unnamed travelers, which many scholars believe the husband and wife, Cleo and Mrs. Cleo, They had just walked 7 miles to an unnamed town that's not even on our maps today. But as soon as they recognized that Jesus was alive, what did they do? Within the hour, they quickly turn around, and I believe they ran back to Jerusalem. And understand this, because it's not written here, but this is truth. Returning to Jerusalem in the middle of the night was probably the most dangerous trek they ever could have taken. From wild animals to thieves to death and destruction facing them, it didn't stop them from going and sharing the good news. Jesus makes us uncomfortable. And my question to you this morning, are you willing to experience the resurrection, even if that means following him somewhere that doesn't make you feel comfortable? Which leads us to our simple action steps this morning, experiencing the resurrection. Our first step in experiencing the resurrection is, church, you have to acknowledge his power. Philippians 3:10, I want you to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Are you willing to step out in faith and experience the abundance that God has for you? My challenge to you this morning is stop putting God in a box. Open your eyes and your ears to the reality that Jesus is pursuing you. And not only is he pursuing you, but he's right beside you walking every step of the way. Ephesians 3:20. Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ever ask or think. Which leads us to our next step. We have to seek him through worship, prayer, and scriptures. Colossians 3:16. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill our lives. Right? Fill our lives. How do our lives get filled? By reading and understanding the scriptures, by applying into our lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Now, why would we do that? Why would we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms to God with thankful hearts? Because that's when this presence of God is active and moving amongst us. He is changing lives. He is drawing us close to him. But my challenge to you this morning is we're about to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms back to him as we celebrate Easter this morning. Are you willing to let go? Are you willing to let go and step out? And quite possibly head towards an unnamed town on an unnamed journey, pursuing Jesus and desiring the best for him. Which leads us to our next step. You got to surrender to his power. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. And at the right time, what's he going to do? He lifts you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Are you willing to lay down your cares and concerns of this world to pursue the presence of God in your life? See, when we lay down the cares and the concerns and the worries and the doubt and the frustration and the negativity, and we allow God's Spirit to wash over us, then we truly become the people that he desires. But it's a choice. It's a choice to turn around and go the other way. It's a choice to pursue him and desire the best for your life, which leads us to our final step. Church, you need to expect the impossible. Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. And let's not take that out of context, church. Hold on. Let's not take those words out of context. Those words spoken by Jesus were challenging the people that even the richest people can make it into the kingdom of heaven if they choose to follow him, if they choose to surrender, if they choose to lay it down, if they choose to pursue him. And it's the reminder, because quite often it's about us pursuing him. It all starts with Jesus pursuing us. He is pursuing you this morning and desires to be in a vibrant, everlasting relationship with you. Will you stand with me this Easter Sunday? Now, as many of you know, we pray a simple prayer here at our community of faith every single Sunday because we believe God brings people into our midst that are distant and far from him or have walked away from him. Maybe some of you can identify with Cleo and his wife and you're walking in the wrong direction. Jesus is pursuing you and inviting you to come back to him, to turn around and to run towards the Spirit so that you will be filled with the Spirit at that day of Pentecost. Amen? So pray with me, church. Jesus, I'm broken. I'm full of doubt, shame, regret, sin. Change me. I believe you're God's son. I believe you died for me. Make me new. Set me free. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me, God, to serve others and pursue you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, let me know on your way out. High five me, hug me, so that I can encourage you and give you some next steps. But here is your opportunity to experience the presence of God. We're going to sing back to Jesus and be thankful for all that he did for us, that he pursues us even when we're headed in the wrong direction, because his power is resurrecting me. Amen?
No impossible. I believe that you are working now.